Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray and Brad Williams for the About Last Night podcast. Very special episode today.
I love this episode.
This is a great episode.
I love it because our guest is Harlan Williams.
Yeah.
Harlan.
Second time.
Second time. Coming back. He's been in the game forever. Great stand-up. Got some projects coming out. Has a podcast coming out that you...
him and I co-produced. Yeah.
Right.
With these hilarious movie review... These gals in Kansas City that we met, that we were gabbing away pre-movie.
Yeah.
And we went up and approached them afterwards, and we're like, you guys are hilarious. They're like, we've been friends since kindergarten. I was like, holy shit.
You guys should have a podcast.
Yeah, and now they're doing a movie review podcast. You can get on iTunes. It's called Donna and Julie Getting Juicy at the Movies with Donna and Julie. It's hilarious. It's a fresh take on movie review stuff for people
sure.
that aren't from the business and
right.
still and love
just
film for the
honest opinion.
Totally,
which is great. And we had a great time with Harlan, and we didn't really have time to plug our own stuff, so we thought we would take that time now so you can just enjoy the Harlan Williams episode. Please follow me on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Check out my tour dates, bradwilliamscomedy.com. October 18th and 19th, I will be at the Ice House in Pasadena, California. October 26th, I will be at the Gold Country Casino in Oroville, California. Yeah. And then November 8th through the 9th, I will be at the Madhouse Comedy Club in lovely San Diego, California. San Diego, of course, being Spanish for whale's vagina.
That's never going to get old.
It really is.
Like,
I love that joke.
Also, I mean, God, I can't. It always just makes me excited to see what Anchorman like quotables come out of this next one.
Yeah, Anchorman 2 is going to be the
shit.
It's
going to be amazing. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. All my tour dates and videos, including the newest one, where Brad and I lip sync to What Does the Fox Say?
Yeah.
It's up on YouTube. Type in midget dances to What Does the Fox Say? It's
I dance in a mushroom outfit.
Hey, if you liked Brad's Gangnam Style dance, get the fuck ready. Fucking buckle up.
All I know is we have to get drunk more often at 3 a.m.
I know.
Because really, whenever we get drunk at 3 a.m.
There's an audience, too. Having an audience helps. Because I think if it's just
does.
You and I by ourselves. Although when Gangnam Style happened, I feel like there's only maybe two people.
Yeah, but it was still an audience. And, whenever we get drunk at 3 a.m., I get a new closer. So
that's actually great.
So thank you for that, Adam Ray. And please continue to listen to the podcast. Obviously, you're listening now. But rate the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher. You can listen to it on there. And also at our website, aboutlastnightpodcast.com.
Yeah, you can stream all the episodes live on there. But if you want to catch me live doing stand-up, you can see me at the Comedy Spot in Arizona, October 3rd through the 5th.
That's a fun club. You're going to love that one.
I can't wait, man. October 10th through the 13th, I'll be at the St. Louis Funny Bone. October 17th through the 19th, the Comedy Mix in Vancouver. And November 14th through the 16th, Laughs Comedy Club in Bloomington, Illinois. And then
there you go.
Tacoma Comedy Club, November 21st to the 23rd, South Seattle. It's a dope club. First time there. Can't wait.
Awesome, man.
A lot of shit coming up for us. Keep rating the podcast and listen to it.
And
we got a lot of great episodes coming up.
We have a lot of great episodes coming up, and I'm really excited. The podcast is getting out there. You guys have been telling friends, and we love it when you come up to us after shows and say, we love the podcast. Nothing is better. And without further ado, please enjoy our episode with Mr. Harlan Williams.
Check. Oh, there you go.
Oh.
Is this what you got the ladies?
What?
Is this what you bought for the girls?
Yeah.
This setup?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, sounds these good. Mics. Yeah. I thought you meant, like, is this how you get the ladies? You bring them in, you have them podcast, and then you...
Yeah, we have the scented candles for them, and then we put noise-canceling headphones on them so they can't hear me sneaking up from behind.
You're going to be the ninth person to make fun of my candles. Go, wait, read it. No.
Cinnamon pecan ass swirl. Wow.
I think you added a flavor in there.
Wow. Too soon. Yeah.
Pecan is definitely not in there.
Oh, God. Cinnamon ass swirl.
Well,
they might as well have that.
Yeah, basically, Adam read in a magazine that women love the smell of unicorn queef, And he thought, and he thought, what's the closest candela I can get? Okay, cinnamon, almond, pecan, chocolate sprinkle. It sounds like a kid's cereal.
It does. What, unicorn queef? I don't know. I don't know if any mom's buying.
What is queef, by the way? I'm not hip to that word.
You don't know what a queef is?
No.
Oh, boy. I feel like I'm a sex education teacher right now.
Well, I know what a unicorn is.
Right.
But what's the queef?
The queef is when air blows out of a woman's vagina. Sort of like a fart from the front.
Good God, man.
That's a real thing,
I really have to be going. And can we light 8 more candles? Just saying that, it smells in here. Yuck.
You never had that happen before? You never been with a woman and then she gets a little...
Dude, it's called a pussy fart?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no. Queef is rude. What's wrong with you guys?
Queef is rude.
Queef is rude.
Queefs are rude.
You say, honey, did you just pussy fart?
Yeah.
That's See? How a gentleman That's says how, it.
Yeah.
I'm terrified of him, personally.
You're opening the door for her.
Yeah, I'm terrified of him because I'm small, and I just have this fear of like that happening, and then I get blown up into the ceiling fan.
Oh, man, yeah. And secondly, why is the ceiling fan on while you're having sex?
Listen, Harlan.
Wow. What do you want, I put Holiday Inn Express?
I put on a good show. I need to get cooled off in there, you know?
Wow.
I got ceiling fans going. I got those people that are on the side of the roads, marathons, just like ready to hand us water at any point. I get down, sir.
Jesus.
I get down.
Yeah, I'm with you. It can be a turnoff. Like there's some girls that do the queef, as we're now calling it.
Right.
Like there's certain girls you meet in life that they do it a lot. Like it's a repeat offense.
Sure.
Like every girl does it now and then.
Right, right, right.
But have you ever been with a girl that kind of it's a bit of a problem?
Yes, actually I have.
It's pretty much of a turnoff, right?
Yeah.
How do you handle that though? There's no like pill to stop an anti.
I just
it's called
like
a cork.
Yeah. I would just be having sex with this particular girl, and I would let balloons deflate in the room, and that sort of covered the sounds. It's like, oh, was that me, or was that the balloon? We don't know.
Wow. So there was a clown standing in the room while you were just having sex.
And listen, a helium machine.
That's what I needed to establish an erection. I need really big feet.
What was that? Balloon or queef? A new game show hosted by Brad Williams.
Wow.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time for balloon or queef. Now we have Cindy in the soundproof booth right now. She has no idea what's going on.
Hi, Brad. Great to be here.
All right, Cindy. You know the rules.
Sorry, I'm already getting going. Sorry. That's obviously gonna. Well, you can tell what that is. That's definitely not a balloon. I can't even tie a balloon. So still going. Yeah. Did I win anything yet? Can I get that car? Okay, probably not.
You're doing an impression of a squeeze box right now.
Yeah, well, that's had too many pecan swirls last night.
You ever get a popcorn queef where it's like... It's like a machine gun in your face.
Popcorn queef. Aren't they playing at the Troubadour next Saturday?
I believe they are. They're opening for Wham. Ooh, that was a That was a legend of Boggy Creek queef. Wow.
Too soon.
Way too soon.
Harlan Williams comes into our podcast. We know Harlan, Dumb and Dumber, Something About Mary, Rocket Man,
his latest special.
Conan, the latest special done without an audience, which we talked about on a previous podcast in the middle of the desert.
How's it doing? Are people picking it up?
It's doing great. You know, it just got released on Netflix, so now
Force of Nature.
Force of Nature, it's amazing the power of Netflix. Like it had a really good release
on iTunes and Amazon,
and all that. And then when it hit Netflix, it's like boom, a whole
new
crop of people. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so be sure to check out Harlan's special, Force of Nature, on Netflix. He comes in wearing a Belieber. Bracelet.
Oh yeah, Justin Bieber, Belieber.
Do you got Bieber fever?
Yeah, I did until I heard the whole queef conversation. Now I'm pretty much thinking about going gay.
Now, have you been to the Laugh Factory when he shows up?
Yeah, I talked to him. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's a Canadian kid, right?
So you guys have that in common.
So I went over and we had a little chat, and I'm not even lying. We talked about donuts, hockey, and fishing.
Wow.
And cottage country, like all
the Canadian stereotypes.
Yeah.
What's the donut shop up there in Canada?
Tim Hortons.
Tim Hortons.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, that's the Starbucks of Canada.
Is it do you have the same common bond with a Canadian as like Brad Wood with another dwarf? If he sees one like across the room at a club at knee level and he's like which he's done, right?
Oh,
you say that you connected with you felt lost at a club and you saw a dwarf like 50 feet away and they were just like, they just reunited after the Holocaust or something.
Yeah, sure. We just give each other that little nod of, hey man, I know the struggle. But then like if it's a guy dwarf, for some odd reason I feel a need to fight him.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know why. I don't know if we're Highlanders. Like there can be only one.
Maybe you're. Like have you had a blood test? Because you might be a pit dwarf.
A pit dwarf.
Yeah.
It's like a different breed, right?
Yeah, yeah, they're very aggressive. Now, is the W silent? Is it dwarf or dwarf?
I think the W is not silent. Dwarf is what the Tim Conway videos. Do you remember the Tim Conway videos? The dwarf on golf.
So it's dwarf.
Yeah.
And is there a dwarf's cahool?
Is there like a dwarf school? Like how they have the schools for the blind?
Yeah, like Hogwarts, but like Dwarfwarts.
Dwarfwarts.
Or Dwarfcyst.
I think
Dwarfcyst.
I think I didn't have. I didn't use a condom last time I went to Mexico, and that's when I got the Dwarfwarts.
Oh,
right
wow,
there.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But it's not bad. You treat them with whipped cream and sprinkles. You just put them on, and they come right off.
Could be a new candle right there. Whipped cream sprinkled dwarf cock. Wow. What would that smell like? Oh, delicious.
I know what it would sound like.
I've never been to the other side of a rainbow, but I'm thinking that's what it would smell like.
Rib cream sprinkled
dwarf cock. Yeah.
That's the other side of a rainbow.
That's what's there.
I feel like that's a plot for like Land Before Time 26.
Yeah.
They're trying to get to the Great Valley, and then Littlefoot's like, we've already been there. Why don't we get to the other side of the rainbow? Why, Littlefoot? Because there's whipped cream dwarf cocks.
Wow, with sprinkles.
With sprinkles. And then there's this just 5-minute silence, and they all stare at each other, and then one of them just goes, let's do it.
Wow. Who's Littlefoot?
He was the
Brontosaurus?
Yeah, he was the main dinosaur of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You remember that film,
I
right?
thought he was a historical North American Indian character that fought against, like, Colonel Custard or something.
Colonel Custard, come over the hill. Me, Littlefoot, I take him down.
And then he eats his head. He's a T-Rex with a bandana.
Oh, my God. It's a T-Rex with a bandana. I'm thinking that's a subplot of Sons of Anarchy, like the new season, just T-Rexes with bandanas.
Or maybe the new Jurassic Park, which you're a big movie buff. How do you feel? Jurassic Park's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Love it.
Yeah,
love it.
You too.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
But how do you feel about a fourth one?
Right. I love it. Keep them coming. Yeah, as long as they keep them real, because I've noticed that CGI has been starting to slide lately.
Yeah.
Like that Jack the Giant Killer movie, and a lot of movies incorporating CGI, they're starting to slide, because I think studios have realized, you know, people don't really need it to look perfect.
Right.
They just want like a big goofy monster or a sea urchin or a giant flying witch, but they're happy as long as they see movement. They don't necessarily need it to be super real.
Right.
And so I don't know if you saw Life of Pi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But these guys created a tiger that I thought it was real.
That's right.
How real. And
yeah.
This place went out of business.
Wow.
They won the Oscar. During their Oscar speech, they said, please support us. We're going out of business. They won an Oscar. And it's because they're so good, but they're expensive.
Right.
So a lot of studios are now settling for, you know, substandard special effects. And if the new Jurassic Park is like that, I won't like it. But
well, I feel like Spielberg's going to spring for the high end dwarf cock coming at your face.
Whoa!
Right? Hey now!
I think I just talked myself out of that movie.
Whoa, yeah, yeah. No, I love dinosaurs, man.
Yeah,
I actually have a new theory about what happened to the dinosaurs.
Oh, really? What's that?
I'd love to hear it.
Well, most people think it was like volcanic ash or...
Yeah, or like a meteor or something like that.
Ice age. But what I've realized through extensive research is that dinosaurs were eradicated because they were eaten by rocks. Every time you cut open a rock, there's a damn dinosaur inside.
So you think...
Yeah, so if you have a rock garden or you live near a cliff, just be wary. Be careful. Yeah. Yeah.
Just a rock garden.
Well, some people have rock gardens.
Is it a Fraggle Rock garden?
Maybe.
That could be even more dangerous. Yeah, and, you know, the Japanese, they have rock gardens. They're very tiny people. I'm sure they could be swallowed up really quick. If a T-Rex is no match for a rock, what the hell is a Japanese guy going to do?
Yeah, rocks will eat. Yeah.
Speaking of cliffs real quick.
Yeah.
Did you hear the story of the woman who – do you pay attention to –
Yeah, she pushed her husband off the cliff.
8 days into their honeymoon?
Right.
Scary. What do you make of that?
Well, she's dumb because she admitted she pushed him.
Yeah. Well, she goes, I don't know. I think he fell. And then a day later, you know, I think I know where his body is, exactly where his body is.
Yeah.
Really? Why do you know that? Because I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, come here and stay in there for a long time.
Yeah,
handcuffs.
Yeah, yeah, the first part of successful murdering is not admitting
the first rule of murder club is,
don't admit it. Yeah, that doesn't work out good.
So she's probably done with.
Yeah, she's dumb and she's done. Yeah, I think it's tragic. I mean, it makes you wonder why they would even get married.
Sure.
Was it day two or day one?
It was day eight of being married.
Day eight. So
they were on the
just
honeymoon.
Over a week.
Yeah.
They were on the honeymoon. Perfect time
honeymoon
get rid
ever.
Of the husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, apparently she said that she told her friend that they needed to have a talk about it, about her reservations about the day before. So that was her talk, I guess. So now I'm just thinking, anytime if I'm ever with someone again and she's like, I need to talk to you about... Be like, cool, let's just make sure it's not near a pool or a cliff.
Yeah, go to Starbucks. Don't climb
push me into a fucking coffee machine.
Yeah. Honey, I'd like to go up Kilimanjaro and discuss that little fight we had yesterday.
Doesn't it make you, though, like the fact that there's Snapped, a show dedicated to women going crazy, and now this stuff, like it makes me more and more, I was telling Brad this yesterday, how it's making me more and more want to be single. Because,
like,
you know, the whole being in a relationship is about, like, building trust, obviously.
Right.
And I guess you're basically sleeping next to somebody and trying to build up a tolerance and a trust for, like, that they won't kill me in my sleep.
Sure.
Like, what? Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't want to bring up those sorts of, like, are you going to kill me questions early on? Because you want to stay attractive to the person. And that's not a sexy question to be like, hey, what's your favorite ice cream flavor? Chocolate chip? Cool. Hey, you're not going to fucking kill me someday, are you?
right.
You know.
There are any places I should avoid, like oceans.
Yeah, yeah. There are places
cliffs,
that your anger really turns up a notch, like wave pools or slip and slides. And so, and then we're just saying how I think there's levels of crazy that I think you just have to identify. Like, you know, if he probably referenced her being crazy at some point. But then I'm sure people were like, wow, how crazy, man. Like, crazy, like she puts, you know, hot sauce on her Cocoa Puffs or, like, she's tried to, like, push you into traffic.
Right, right. Yeah, you don't want to have the toilet seat up or down fight. And then she suggests you go to Walmart and you know, buy rifles. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's not going to work out good.
But how do you gauge that early to – I mean, there must have been other signs, like violent signs, right? Like, maybe –
Yeah.
But maybe it was all in the bedroom, so he, like, it was masked. Maybe she was like...
You know, I don't know. You'd have to know the ins and outs of their relationship. But, you know, to get to that point, I think the problem is society's rigged to let people get away with stuff.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I think people are no longer fearful of the judicial system or the courts. And, you know, everyone knows there's loopholes and...
Now it's just you think like, oh, I have enough money. I could just buy a lawyer who's that good.
Yeah.
Or something. I wonder if she said stuff like, you know what I'd think would be really sexy if you did this, honey? Like jumped out of an airplane. He's like, oh, yeah, like fucking skydiving, like parachute. She's like, kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. But without the parachute, without a real rebel.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that would be really hot. Just no parachute. Do that for me.
She's like, and as you're jumping, it would sound like this.
Oh, queefing He's on like, the way down. Yeah.
Pretty sure that's the name of my next album.
Queefing on the way down.
Queefing on the way
down. Puking on the way out. But here's what you're going to do. If you want to really plot out a murder.
Sure.
Like of that magnitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
What you do is you go to the zoo first, and you go like to a mountain goat pen. Right?
Yeah.
And you somehow, like, get some blowing, mountain goat hair, okay?
Okay.
And then maybe go to the butcher's and buy some pig's feet,
right? Because they sell them.
Yeah. Sure.
And then when you go up there, you put some mountain goat hairs on your hubby's back, you know, or you put them in his hairs. You put some in your hand and rub them in his hair,
obviously,
on his back.
Yeah.
And then push them. And then once he's gone, you take the pig's feet out of a bag and make little footprints and tell the CSI guys that a crazy mountain goat like bunted your
with pig feet.
Over the edge.
Crazy mountain goat.
They won't check the feet. It's the same cut. It's the same two little hoofs, yeah.
And there you go. And this is where the goat queefed on the way down.
Yeah, yeah.
Right before, to taunt us almost.
I mean, I don't think they'd ever think that someone would go to that length to get strands of
one guy would, and then another guy would shoot it down. He'd be like, dude, Gary, they probably went to the butcher shop and bought pig feet. He goes, bought pig feet?
Yeah.
Dan, what the fuck? Are you listening to yourself say that?
Right. Now, if you wanted to eliminate the pig foot thing, because technically they could get you on that, but if they found his body at the bottom and there was like mountain goat hairs on you know, weaved into the fabric of his sweater or whatever, you could potentially get away with it because you can't prove a mountain goat didn't run out of nowhere and ram his ass, right? Because they're strong.
Yeah. And those aren't you don't know where the mountain goat hairs end up after you get rammed.
Right.
Why wouldn't there be a package of them?
Well, if he's using
inside
the top of his head, figure
in the back,
weaved into the back of his sweater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they run along the rocks where they might not necessarily even leave a footprint.
Sure.
And as if they'd think that the wife was that smart that she would go to a zoo and get mountain goat hairs.
Now, what does a mountain goat sound like when it bucks somebody off a cliff?
Yeah, because I know you're really
good
at those.
You're going to die, motherfucker. Like that. It's really...
They raise mountain goats in Compton. I did not know that.
It's a South Central mountain goat.
South Central mountain goat.
You're going to die, motherfucker.
That's a Hanna-Barbera mountain goat.
That's a Michael Clark Duncan Green Mile mountain goat. Take my head, boss.
Harlan, we got to hang out a little bit up at the Montreal Comedy Festival together, and that was my first festival. I went to the Dane Cook Gala of which you were performing at.
That's right.
And I have to set the scene for our listeners here.
Yeah.
The galas are huge theater, 3,000 people, and I see you backstage talking to the stagehands, going, "I need a piano. I need a piano on the stage. I can't do my act without the piano. Someone get a piano.
A grand piano.
A grand piano.
Yeah.
Not just a Casio keyboard. I need the grand piano." And I see these stagehands running around going, "Harlan needs a piano. Harlan, we need to find a piano for Harlan Williams." They somehow find a piano. Four Sherpas have to lug it in from outside. They place the piano perfectly on stage. Harlan Williams goes on stage, perform his set. Never once uses the piano. I think one time you leaned on it and said, "Oh, there's a piano here." And I see backstage all the stagehands going, "That motherfucker!" You sound like mountain goats, in fact.
Yeah.
Now, what was your mindset with that? Is that
a last-minute call?
No, I had actually planned that. You know, because they ask you for your set list,
right?
You know, months before you go up there,
right? What do you need on stage?
What do you need on technical? So I set a microphone and a grand piano, and I was thinking of using the piano. There's a bit I was gonna do, but I never got to it, so it just sat there.
Can you play piano?
A little bit, yeah.
Well, so you, if the moment struck you, you maybe would have sat down, but you weren't planning on...
It wasn't to play the piano. I was going to use it as a visual sight gag prop. But the joke doesn't work unless you can see the piano.
Of course.
Yeah, and they actually had to stop the show for about 5 minutes while they wheeled on the piano. And then, so everyone's looking at it like, "Oh, is Tim Minchin going to come out here? What's going to happen?" And then you do your set... Don't like maybe look at it one time, and then they have to stop the show again while the stagehands come out, and then Dane Cook is hosting the event.
Yeah,
he's just on stage going, "Harlan fucking Williams." Harlan.
Well, what's funny is we got a letter like about a week before the festival, and I won't say the name, but one of the other comedians on the gala got wind that I was having a piano, and they got all freaked out and wrote their management wrote to my management, and they're like, why does Harlan have a piano? Our client does a thing with a piano. We can't have a what's he doing with a piano?
Oh, Jesus.
It was like this big thing, so that was even more drama.
Was it Ralph the dog?
Nope.
Ralph the dog from the Muppet Show?
Nope. Yeah.
He was on the gallet.
I remember Ralph, yeah. Ralph the dog.
Very blue.
Yeah.
Just on a side note, was the comic in question a fellow Canadian comic?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who we're talking about then. Kind of maybe holds his hand up a little
Jeremy,
bit.
Jeremy. Jeremy Hunt. Like, what's with the piano? They're all panicking. I was laughing.
It's funny. Jeremy Hodds, for those of you guys who don't know this amazing stand-up,
he's great.
You watch his stand-up. He's so funny, and he's so neurotic on stage. Yeah. You're like, oh, wow, what a great character.
Yeah.
And then you meet him off stage, and you're like, oh, fuck, that's real. Like that's the guy. Like,
to an extent.
Sure, like, sure, the volume's turned up a little bit, but he's the guy on the side that going, Harlan's got a fucking piano.
Yeah, he's
what kind of lame instrument? What kind of lame instrument that is?
Did you know him starting in?
I've known Jeremy. Man, he started just a little bit after me. I guess back in 1984.
Who was the crop that you like came up with more or less?
I came up with the guy that I came up with was probably Norm MacDonald. Yeah. Me and Norm.
Oh, wow.
Me and Norm were kind of the rage in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
At the time in the 80s, and then me and Norm, Norm moved down a year before I did to LA. He got offered a writing gig on the Roseanne show.
Oh, that's right.
So he came down and then eventually went on to do SNL and stuff. So yeah,
you and Norm coming up together.
Yeah,
I mean,
incredible.
It's I don't want to call you alternative comics because to me that sounds demeaning and not funny.
No, I don't mind that.
You guys are just you and Norm have just this way of looking at the world that's completely different.
Yeah,
you're not the guy that goes on stage and goes, "Oh, what's the deal with airline food?" Like you're not like
right.
Or if you do, it's gonna be like this take that no one has even considered. Like, what's the deal with airline food? It's always getting stuck to the bottom of my llama's shoes.
Yeah,
why? Yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
Where'd I have that?
Yeah.
Take it.
I like that.
All you. I've got a huge llama chunk in my act that I have no idea what to do
working.
With.
It's not working. Yeah.
It's not working.
I'll take that.
Something with dwarves and llamas. People get uncomfortable. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I like.
Yeah. What was your, do you remember one of your first bits?
I remember my very first bit. I did a joke. I did a fat mother joke, and I walked out and I said, "My mother's so fat she eats cereal out of a satellite dish." that was it. Yeah, that's how I started.
You know, though, that sounds original because I remember kids in when I was in elementary school had those Snaps books where it was like they were full of "Your mama's so fat,"
right?
"Your mama's so ugly," just pages. And kids, there were. I remember. I mean, I got fascinated with them because, you know, I think it might have been my first like introduction to like jokes that were pre. I didn't know how people came up with stuff, so I was like, "Oh, there's just books. People just get books, and then these guys go and Chris Rock recites these things, and then makes a lot of money, but he's good at it."
Right.
But this one kid would walk around delivering them to people, even if they like. And I remember that he would go around being like, "Your mom is so fat, you know, her blood type's Ragu," or "Your mom is so fat when she sits around the house, she sits around the house."
Yeah, yeah.
Or
that was like kids' version of Def Jam.
It totally was. And there was one kid's mom who was like really sick.
Oh, like,
and she ended up
obese.
I think she had some sort of cancer.
Oh, I know this joke. Your mother's got so much leukemia, she's going to die. That one? What? That's an oldie. Everyone knows that one.
That's a Casey Kasem throwback.
Yeah.
Your mother is
this dog goes out to a woman on her deathbed. Who's struggling to feel anything.
I came up with a new one.
What was that?
I do one now where I go, I saw this fat chick walking down the street. She was so fat, she jumped up in the air, slam dunked a whole cake in her own mouth.
The sad part is that's not too much of a stretch off reality.
Slam dunking anything into your mouth is like the sign of anything.
Sure, it works out that way.
But watching her get air is the fun part. Like just getting up a whole inch off the ground and boom, slam. Just violently slamming it in her mouth, a whole round cake.
It's funny that like one of your first comedic experiences was through a joke book.
Yeah,
I had a similar thing. I still remember the joke book. It was from Garfield. It was Garfield's insults, put downs, and slams.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, and like
put downs. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I
you knew it was harsh if it
book.
Was a put down when people were like, "Hey, he put that guy down." Remember that when that term was tossed around?
Did you ever read Charlie Brown's racial slurs? Those are great. I mean, that's where I first learned about the N-word and how to use it. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. Snoopy, that dirty.
Unbelievable. Yeah. When he calls a pig pen an N-word. Yeah. It's harsh, man.
Yeah. There was always was pig pen the black member of Peanuts?
No, he was just dirty.
Dirty. He always had a fart cloud around him. Yeah. Wow. It's like, there's always dust around him.
Yes.
So he was white, but he just
he was
looked
white,
black.
But because, very dirty. Yeah.
Okay, he was just
dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty, yeah.
There wasn't, I feel like there was a
he
black
was homeless.
Peanut.
He was a homeless boy.
Yeah. Well, Linus had the blanket.
Yeah, there was a black kid on the
Peanuts. What was his name?
Yeah, I forget.
All right, I've got Google. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
You know what? I couldn't remember. It's funny that we're talking about the Peanuts. I couldn't remember. I was maybe smoking a little of the marijuana the other night.
Oh,
shocker.
And we were trying to come up with the name of Snoopy's friend, Snoopy's bird friend.
Woodstock.
What's that?
Yeah. Well, here's what I thought it was. My friend goes, "What was the name of that bird friend?" I go, "Tweet, tweet."
Whoa.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's when you think Charles Schulz is just getting lazy. Like, what do we call the bird? I don't know. What noise does it make? Tweet. Done. Tweet, tweet.
How about Toke Toke? How about that?
The name of the... The name of the black character in Peanuts was Franklin.
Oh, yeah. Franklin. Yeah.
And
I guess that's good, because that doesn't sound like a African-American name.
What was his thing? Because Schroeder
played
the
saxophone.
Piano.
I don't know.
Franklin played the sax?
No.
No. I'm looking at the picture of the band right now. Franklin's not in the band.
What? Oh.
Look at this.
He's just off to the side.
They had a black friend.
He was probably the singer.
They had a black friend, and they did not include him in the band. That's not using
Whoa,
your friend.
Look at
to
that
their
picture. Franklin has some Jerry curl going.
I think that's Lionel Richie.
Oh, wow.
that's like
maybe you can't see him in the picture because he's dancing on the ceiling. If you pan up.
Good.
Lionel Richie reference, yeah. Harlan Williams.
Hey, he started it. He started this war. I will end it. Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
Oh my God! We start doing Lionel Richie songs.
Slow dance.
What were your comedic influences growing up in Canada?
You know, it wasn't stand up. It was Second City. You know, Second City show with John Candy, Eugene Levy, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis. Mm-hmm.
Sketch guys.
Yeah. Just Dave Thomas. I mean, all those
guys. The Wendy's founder?
No. Oh, okay. Dave Thomas. He was one of the hosers.
Are you serious?
Oh, I thought he was like.
Although Dave Thomas is hilarious.
Yeah, he was hilarious. Yeah.
Well, they had their own sketch group. It was Ronald McDonald, Hamburglar, Dave Thomas.
Yeah. Burger King.
Burger King, hey. the Taco Bell dog.
Yeah. I think any guy that creates the Baconator has got to have at least some sort of sense of humor.
You know, yeah, that's true.
It's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We want to kill our customers. We're just going to put 27 slices of bacon on one hamburger.
How about the guy who just came out for Burger King with the French fry burger? Have you seen that?
No.
It's
a French fry burger, Hart. They basically, it's fries in the burger.
Ooh.
Hey, can't we do that for ourselves?
Yeah, why not just shove the plate and the can of Coke in there, too? Just get everything at once.
Right? Just like soak the buns in corn syrup and say, hey, we got everything now.
Yeah, or just like shove an actual can in the buns. Eat it like a goat. God, ridiculous.
That's why the goat knocked the wife off the edge.
The husband, you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
Flashing back. No memory. Yeah. He was chewing on a Coke burger.
If that story does get turned into a Lifetime original movie, I hope they go the route of the goat. Yeah. And they put the goat in there.
Yeah.
What if it turns out that actually is what went down?
Hey, it's too late. She already, like, spilled the beans and said she did it.
Yeah, but Jodi Arias, like, flip-flopped a lot. She was like, it was self-defense. And she was like, all right, I just hated him. And they're like, okay, but and she's like, I wasn't there that day. Okay.
But that's
all right,
I was there
and I did it.
That's the thing with what I was saying about the judicial system. Even if you have a lawyer working pro bono, they're more obsessed with winning the case than finding justice. So they will create any scenario, any excuse to get their defendant off. And it's just awful. And I think people have become very hip to that. So I think people are you know, a lot less scared of committing crimes nowadays because I think they know the odds of getting away with it are a lot better, or even if they get nailed, the odds of getting a short sentence or a reduced sentence or cutting a deal, it seems to be the way it's going.
Yeah, that, and I think people watching so many Law & Orders were like, I know how to get away with this.
Yeah.
It's fine. Just don't just don't give my whereabouts to the guy stacking crates over by the truck, and then I'll be safe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Now, I know you mentioned that some lawyers work pro bono. Do any lawyers work Chaz Bono?
Chaz Bono. Is that the guy that became a girl?
Yeah.
Or the girl that became a guy?
Yeah, Cher, Cher's daughter son?
Cher's.
Yeah. Is that what she calls him?
Pro.
Do you believe in having both?
Oh, nice. Oh. Nice.
If I could turn back time, I'd take away her dick.
Oh, my God.
Dude, well, Chaz isn't coming on anytime soon.
Wow. Oh, darn, we're not having Chaz Bono on the About Last Night show.
Wow.
What do you think? Do you think if do you think if you were in that position, would you
as a
tell?
Parent?
No, as the person that got a sex change, would you feel obligated to tell? Let's say you were a woman that became a man.
Sure.
Right.
And then as a man, you ask the girl out.
Yeah, just hypothetically speaking, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Would you tell that partner that you were used to be a different gender before you had sex with
them?
That
is a great question.
I don't know. I mean, I usually try to tell the women I sleep with before that I'm a little person. I kind of sit them down and go, hey,
Them down. You're standing up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I know you're realizing that we're making eye contact right now, even though you're sitting down and I'm standing up.
Yeah.
Get ready for a shocker. I'm actually a little person. They just go, "What? I didn't know.
I thought you were just nervous." Wait, no. What? Yeah, I don't know what I would
do. I thought you just like items on the kids menu. No.
Wow.
They give those to me.
Now, what? Can I ask a personal question for the doggy position?
6 inches.
Not that. For the doggy position, do you have to like get up on an orange crate or something?
No, it lines up perfectly. I stand up, so I'm standing, and the girl is on all fours.
Right, but is it still at the right level?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I don't get tired. I just go. There's no cramping.
I don't know that I asked for the rest of it. I just asked for the first part.
Yeah, but I feel like a man. I gotta like justify my sexual prowess
here.
Asked
for a hot chocolate, and the guy gave shit in a cup.
I would think that if a girl's on all fours, that her special area would be up near your throat, right?
Yeah. Well, and if it is, still a win.
You just shove your nose in there.
But you know, because it's like. You said it lines up perfectly, but I don't see it.
I mean, if you want me and Adam to demonstrate on the ground, because you know he's about the right height.
This could not be further from what I want right now.
Oh, like that didn't happen this last weekend when you were staying at my house when I was doing the Bray Improv. We were in some compromising positions.
There were some compromising positions.
Oh, I see. So you're saying if she was like on the floor and you're standing, it lines up perfectly.
Yeah, and she's on all fours.
Got you. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I guess I was picturing like, okay.
Exactly.
Is there a name for that?
Happiness.
Four on the floor.
Connect four.
Yeah. Connect four.
The Parker Brothers edition. The Parker Posey edition.
It's adult Connect four, everybody.
Wow.
Maybe
that's what you win on Balloon or Queef. You win
the adult board games.
Ouch. You win the adult board games.
Thanks for playing Balloon or Queef. We have some lovely parting gifts for our second place contestant. Yeah, so we got a four on the floor.
Four on the floor. You get twist her nipple dick because she's got both.
Whoa, two very soon.
Now, I've heard that you are a big fan of the UFC fights, and you like to have people over up at your house to watch UFC fights.
Yeah.
What is it about the UFC that really gets you going?
I just like the realness of it. I like the contact. I love that anything goes. That it involves. You know, with boxing, you just have kind of the fists, but with UFC, you've got so many different assets to use. And,
It's
great.
Did you watch the John Bones Jones fight this last this last weekend?
I couldn't. I was traveling, so I was working, and I didn't get to watch, but I saw the highlights, and apparently it was like his scrappiest fight. Apparently
yeah.
It went really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it?
I was working Brea. We were unable to see the fight as well.
Oh.
But I just saw the highlights. It's one of those things where it's pure. It's one of the only things I could say is pure sport. It's just guy against guy.
Yeah.
Let's see who's better.
Yeah.
And I love it because I used to wrestle in high school.
Okay.
Which is scared the crap out of all my opponents. Because they're like, all right, I got this little tiny guy in front of me.
Yeah, if he's got the confidence to get in the ring, what is he? Is he going to make me connect four? I don't know what he's going to
do. Wow, look out.
Yeah.
What was your go-to move?
The fireman's carry. Yeah, and I see you set me up for a joke, and I didn't take it. I went for the actual move. I was like, "You're Roy Firestone interviewing me on ESPN. How's that for a reference?"
Yeah,
and you know, fireman's carry, legit.
What's a fireman's carry?
Oh, fireman's carry is when you go and you scoop under their leg, you cup the balls a little bit, and then you throw their shoulders over your shoulder, and you walk out like you're a fireman rescuing someone out of a building.
Really?
Yeah.
And you would pick these guys up?
Yeah, and that's when their fathers would disown them.
Really?
Yeah, be like, a midget just picked up my boy? Ah, damn.
Don't stop. Just walk him out of this damn gymnasium into an orphanage.
Wow, that's pretty. You're a pretty strong dude.
Well, at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I, you know, made my dad proud and quit wrestling to do theater.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you trained at a theater school?
They had theater at my high school.
Oh, at the high school?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? This whole wrestling thing, like getting girls and like being buff, not for me.
Did you ever do the musical version of Ladder 49? So you could be Joaquin
Phoenix. We need someone to do a fireman's carry.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Yeah. Backdraft on Broadway.
There's a fire over there. It is burning and it's warm. Just like my feelings for you. Coming from my loins.
Wow.
That Baskin Robbins is on fire.
Wow. Save the Rocky Road.
Wow.
And the kids.
The kids.
And those clown ice cream cones. Do people still get those? Do people still get those?
Oh, my God. So scary. Alone.
Why isn't there a Backdraft the Musical? That's
Kurt
what I'm
Russell
saying.
Should have won an Oscar for this film.
Fourth wall.
It just turns into a film about trying to fucking...
They have a Backdraft thing at Universal Studios.
They
have you
did.
Ever been in it?
They
Is
did.
Is it gone? It was yeah, so
they
stupid.
They replaced it with E.T., and E.T. has been now replaced with
King Kong?
Mummy, the roller coaster, which is about 9 seconds, and it goes 60 miles an hour forwards and back for, but what, backwards. And
Sounds like the night I lost my virginity.
Whoa.
Hey!
Wow.
Is it a coincidence you can make that mini trumpet noise so well, or is that like installed in all dwarves?
It's installed.
They
put a little chip in our brains and say, you know what?
Mini trumpets?
He may not be able to make the basketball team, but...
But he can play...
He can play a mean fake trumpet.
He can come out and be in mini Louis Armstrong, the musical. It's really good. I'm impressed.
I see great skies of blue.
What were you about to say? What were the lyrics?
I forgot them for a second.
I see green M&Ms.
I had a mini stroke. Forgot the lyrics.
Queefing on the way down.
Oh, wow.
I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
You love singing, dude.
I like singing.
Do you do any Manilow?
Manilow.
He's not talking about the singer. Like, do you do any of that to women after you connect for them?
Oh, wow.
Do I give him a Manilow?
Wow.
Give him a Manilow, which is you fuck a dude in front of him.
Ooh, whoa.
Oh, jeez. I was thinking maybe you just give him a manicure, but you get down on your knees and do it.
Hey, wow. Man, I go full commitment to the joke, man. That's what I do.
Harlan, you sing on stage sometimes, and you sing some hits.
I do?
Oh, yeah. Some 80s hits. Yeah, what have you sung when I've traveled with you?
not Jesse's girl, but like, shit, you don't remember some of these?
Oh, sometimes I sing.
She had a heart of gold. How does that one go?
Ricky was a young boy. He had a heart of gold, or something like that. Yeah,
go
Skid Row. Yeah,
yeah.
Do that right in front of somebody's face, and then do the sound effect where you do what is that like? What would you call that when you do like the? It's almost like you're.
When I make
shaping
noises?
A sphere or something.
I don't know what that is. That's how I follow it up. What was that? Oh, yeah. Listen to the beginning.
There's your jam, Harlan.
Yeah. I love this opening part. Goes, Ricky, what? You hear him, he just farted.
Right in the microphone.
Here we go.
You know what's great about that? Joey McIntyre was here last night from New Kids on the Block. And he was talking. We're talking. Excuse me about singing. And he's like, you know, he's like, you guys, you know, our shit's the '90s, or whatever. He's like, I'm an '80s kid. He's like, but also, he goes, that he's like, that's when guys like didn't hold back and actually sang. He's like, fucking like Steven Tyler, all these guys just like belted it out and like didn't get nasally and whiny or
sound like Drake, Yellow.
Yeah, or start to, you know, obviously with getting more heavily produced and stuff. But he's just like.
That's why I love, there's a new song out now by, I think their name
Raffy?
Is. No, Raffy got hit
down by the
truck.
Bay?
Jesus, what?
Is it Lisa Del Mar, Summertime Sadness? Have you heard that song?
No.
Oh, ooh. Summertime Sadness. She's got such a clean voice.
Nice.
And it's such a great song, man. It's just a clean.
What does she sing about? Ran out of lemonade at the fucking parade?
It's kind of about like losing her, like it's the end of, she lost her lover.
Oh, it's like a summertime love.
Yeah,
oh,
Summertime
shit.
Sadness. Yeah.
Oh, by Lana Del Rey.
Lana Del Rey, man. She's got really clean, clean
pipes.
Sound.
Nice.
Really nice. But she just lets it rip, you know?
I like that. Like Alanis Morissette is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah?
Because
she... Canadian girl.
Yes, she kills it, man.
By the way, so is the singer of Skid Row, Sebastian Bach's Canadian, too. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. See, everyone you love is Canadian.
See, now I'm jealous I'm not Canadian. I know the anthem, though.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah, it's oh, Canada, our home and native land, true patriot lies, right?
Love.
True patriot love and all thy sons, sons command. That one?
Yeah.
Something in all these, something we see thee rise, the true north strong and free. From far and wide, oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. God, I've been to a lot of hockey games.
Wow, thank you. I'm welling up.
Right? You're like, I'm feeling some Canadian pride right there. I got to go douse my cock in maple syrup after that.
Wow,
I got to make that happen.
You had me, and then you lost me. Yeah. Wow.
I don't know what. Yeah, I'm sure people are like listening to. I tell you what, that Brad Williams, he knows that Canadian anthem.
I like that.
He got midget coming over here, taking our jobs, singing anthems for the Canadian people. Got to get him out of this country, boy.
No, you did a good job, man. I like that.
How are the hockey halftime shows?
Well, they don't do halftime because there's three periods
in
a hockey game. So,
but there's
just the quick
intermission.
Little, yeah, it's just girls run out and shovel the ice. The people watch a Zamboni go around in circles,
and they like that.
That's the halftime show.
They have a song about it.
Yeah.
I want to drive to Zamboni.
Yeah, but it's mesmerizing. Like, if you watch it, because you can see them, like, clean the ice.
Yeah.
And you see it go from rough to really clean, and you just watch it. It's like, you ever get on your computer and you're downloading something, and that little blue bar goes across?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, I should go do the dishes or wash the car, but you end up sitting there watching it 15%, 43%, 87%.
The buildup.
And then, ding! And you're like, I was there for it. I saw it.
I was there for the process. There is something to be said about that. Like, it's even more because you watched it kind of.
Invested.
And also, you feel like because it's so beyond me, like how that shit is, like, you know, how we can just click on something and how we get like a song or a whole movie like that. So it's like, to see it kind of happen,
it's mesmerizing.
You feel more part of the process.
It's like a campfire. Sometimes when you're at a campfire, you have to watch those logs burn. Like you, yeah, no one leaves a campfire while it's blaring.
Yeah,
sure.
You always kind of watch it and see, oh, what's going to happen to that little log? Ooh.
Hey, little baby.
Oh, ashes. Right? It's like weird stuff. And totally. The Zamboni's like that. It goes around, and you can see the pattern. And so people just watch it. They're drooling. And
they won't get up to go to the bathroom because they'll watch the Zamboni.
They're drooling, and they're like having seizures.
Zamboni seizures?
Zamboni seizures. I think they're opening up at the Troubadour.
They're opening for...
Are they? Oh, okay.
For who was it?
I forgot the name of the first band.
Sticky
Unicorn
Melt?
Stink.
Unicorn Stink.
Unicorn Queef, whatever. Now, are you a fan of Canada's other sort of national sport, which is curling? Do you watch the curling?
No. I mean, I've seen it, but it's kind of like lawn bowling. It's like
glorified bocce ball.
Yeah. It you know, they take it very seriously. It's a weird sport. You're sliding like big metal, big rock, granite rock things down the ice.
Right. I like the guy that's at the who throws it out and who's telling the sweepers what to do when he just yells out, "Hard!
Yeah.
Hard!" You're like, "Holy shit, are you watching a porn? What are you doing with that?"
Wait, yeah.
Who is that guy?
Yeah, hard! That guy?
You get him up there with those guys at the golf tournaments and go, "In the hole! In the hole!
Get in the hole!
Hard! Hard! Get in the hole!" I think curling would be better if they replaced the granite rocks with, like, frozen old ladies. They just slid old ladies down in each other.
And now he's picking out the Gertrude Stone.
Yeah, bonk.
Gertrude, oh, it knocks Bertha out.
Oh, Bertha.
Gertrude with the points.
Oh, golly.
Yo, we got to talk about... the podcast that Har and I have launched here.
Fun.
All right. So when I was opening for you at the Kansas City Improv,
fun improv, by the way, best damn barbecue you'll ever have. Oklahoma Joe's or Jack Stacks.
Yeah? We didn't go there.
You gotta go to those places.
We went and saw Johnny English instead.
Yeah, we went to NASCAR.
That was incredible. Yeah, holy shit.
You guys went to NASCAR in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Buddy Horace was like the very big, like the main radio DJ there.
Yeah, yeah. He got us all access passes to NASCAR.
Yo, watching that tire change up close may be one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
So, yeah. Like, it happens when they do it in 8 seconds. You're like, wow.
If that.
It's like a second and a half.
Yeah,
it's,
dude.
It's so fast.
It pulls up. They have, and they're literally sitting back there on their phones, checking their tweets. Talking about, like, you know, why baked potatoes are better than mashed potatoes, how Kurt Russell should have won an Oscar for Backdraft.
Yeah,
we all talk about that.
You know, making funny queef noises to each other and saying, oh, there should be a band about this or a show involving balloons. And all of a sudden, they just casually pick up the tires and the giant gasoline tank, and then the car just zooms up. And then everybody just knows exactly what to do, and they're all cramming in there. So you're thinking, like, how do they just kind of all fit in their puzzle pieces. And know they're like, hey, I'm coming at this angle, so you come around. I mean, it's just like,
I wish those guys in their off time worked in Home Depot at the cashier.
Yeah, right? Shit.
Just like boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
Like, get you in there.
That would
and get
speed
you
things
out.
Up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That just makes you feel like kind of a puss when you're watching these guys do a tire change in 2 seconds. Meanwhile, you're on the side of the road, like going, AAA, can AAA come and help me?
Right.
It's funny. I actually had to change a tire on the side of the 10 freeway last week.
Oh, damn.
So that's scary. Yeah, so I'm over on the side of the freeway, on the 10 freeway, in my Mini Cooper. And yes, I drive a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, yeah.
And my legs are sticking out from under the car, like it's like the Wicked Witch.
Oh, wow, cool.
Wizard of Oz. And people are honking as they're driving by, and I don't know what the honks mean. I don't know if it's like, get that car off that baby. Like I don't know what I don't know what it is, or if it's like they see me under the car and they think like, wow. Mini Cooper has a tire midget. My car doesn't have a tire midget.
Now, you know you don't go under the car to change a tire, right? You do it from the side, guy.
Well, when you fit.
Yeah, but there's no tires under the car. They're on the sides.
Well, yeah, but you got to jack up the car.
Yeah, but there's a handle.
There is.
Did you go under the car? Who goes under the car to change a tire?
I went under the car.
You're nuts. That's why they were honking. They thought a baby retard was crawling under a Mini Cooper. I would honk at that, too.
Somebody get the baby.
Hey, baby, look at the baby retard.
I think that's a bumper sticker. Honk if you see a baby retard underneath, underneath the car.
For sure. Yeah. That's bizarre.
That's bazooka. Yes.
What were you doing under the car? Tell me.
Well, because I had to get the jack onto the axle, and it has to be a specific part of the axle to where you don't bend your car's frame.
But then your jack's usually on a handle. You can just slide it under.
Yeah.
But you decide to go right under, which also means you probably had to jack your car up about 7 feet so you could walk under your car.
I was running around like a Chinese fire drill, man. I was just going in and out.
Racist. Unreal.
Fire drill got to be Chinese.
So while we were in Kansas City, we went we tried to see movies, right? And we've seen some hits and some. Yeah.
Mostly we've seen losers together, but this one was good. We saw Oblivion. Is that what it was?
Yeah, with Tom Cruise.
I really liked it. Yeah.
And you know what? And a good amount of
Wally with guns.
Wally with guns.
But the effects were well done, I thought, right?
I thought it looked beautiful.
It looked incredible. Yeah. And just that whole world that was created with them.
And you had
living above the and having it was.
And you had Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman telling Tom Cruise.
In Oblivion?
Yes. He was the guy with the goggles living in the underground library.
Right, that's right.
Morgan Freeman said, "You want to know how I got this house underground? I paid with Visa. It was everywhere I wanted to be, and I wanted to be under the ground."
You could have taken Morgan Freeman out of that movie.
I think you
wouldn't have noticed.
Sure, he would have saved $10 million, too.
Yeah.
But in the ads, you get one shot of him, and people go, oh. He's always, right? There's certain people that you see a shot of, and you go, oh, okay.
Yeah, it gives legitimacy to a movie.
I'd say Morgan Freeman, Rita Rudner.
Carrot Top. Okay, yeah.
Is she Canadian, too?
No.
I thought that was your Rita Rudner.
No, we won't take credit for Rudner.
No. That sounds like a one-act play that somebody should do. We won't take credit for Rudner.
From the author of It's Importance of Being Earnest, Oscar Wilde's We Won't Take Credit for Rudner.
Please tweet. Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. It starts with a little black box scene and the lights come up. Rita Rudner. Boy, what a fucking disaster. That's the opening line.
Please tweet at Harlan Williams, "We won't take credit for Rudner." Hashtag, yeah. We won't take credit for Rudner, so that you know that you listen to this podcast. So we go to the movies,
And we're sitting in the theater before Oblivion's about to start, and there's two gals to the right of us.
Yeah.
You should set this up, because you caught wind of them before I came in.
Yeah, you went down to go to the can or go to the snack bar or something. Yeah. So I was sitting in the theater by myself. It was a big IMAX theater.
Yeah.
And, before the trailers even start, you just kind of have Muzak playing in the background.
Yeah, right.
And,
so it's time to chat about whatever.
Yeah. So these two lovely ladies, Donna and Julie, were sitting probably about 9 to 10 seats over to my right. And they started talking quite loudly about movies. They were talking about the new Superman coming out and how excited they were Kevin Costner was in it. And
I'll see anything with Kevin Costner.
Yeah, they were just very chatty and very passionate about the
strong opinions.
Movies, strong opinions, but very natural, and just it was just funny to hear these people that were so into the movies.
Yeah.
And
so removed from Hollywood, and they were coming at it with genuine, like, I mean, their reasons for loving certain things were like, what was the Helen Hunt movie, the Sessions? The Sessions.
Yeah.
And what did you say, that one of them was like, you know, like, there's a little bit of nudity in there, and I just can't, I feel like that's too much. And then one of them said, I feel like you should show more, like either do a little or show the whole thing or something.
Yeah, I don't remember it all, but I just remember they were very, very fun to listen to. And I thought, man, that'd be funny if those two did like a movie review show.
Yeah.
Because they're just natural. They're not jaded. They're not, they're
not trying to be in the business
themselves.
They're just pure.
They're just throwing it out there and
rubbing on some popcorn, just fans of cinema.
Yeah. And then I told Adam when he came back, I said, listen to these girls. And then they were still going for a little bit, because then the movie started.
I got about two. But even in 5 minutes, I got a couple more sound bites.
And then afterwards, we were like, man, we should like do a podcast with these girls. And so I approached them after the movie and I said, hey, can I talk to you girls? And then me and Adam started chatting them up. And next thing you know, we're we're asking them if they want to do a podcast. So now we're producing a podcast called Getting Juicy at the Movies with Donna and Julie. Mm-hmm. And it's basically these two ladies are now reviewing current movies on their podcast. And they also review like one classic movie in the show. And then they do script readings from popular movie scripts, and they do trivia. So it's a really fun show. Where can they get it?
And they've been friends since
they were kids, little kids.
Kindergarten, I think.
Yeah, high school or something, or in their 40s, grade school.
And they've seen movies together like every week.
They love it.
So type in on iTunes, Getting Juicy at the Movies. Hit them up on Twitter and Facebook. I think it's just Getting Juicy at the Movies for both those.
Yeah.
I like that.
They're pumping them out weekly. And that's what's great is because they're seeing probably two movies,
they review two current movies a week, and then they do the vintage movie and stuff. So it's every Wednesday. You can hear Getting Juicy at the Movies with Donna and Julie.
If you want a fresh take, quite honestly, that's a unjaded, but like, and also then they talk about their, their weeks prior, which is like, I think a helpful way to get to know them, talking one of them is, I don't know whether they got a haircut or one of their what was going on with their son?
Were shopping for school clothes, and one of them were talking about wearing thongs, and they're really sweet, they're really nice, and we're having a blast. They're doing a great job.
Yeah, they're killing it.
Awesome. If you want kind of what I would call kind of a refreshing podcast, and you're into movies, and it's pretty clean. There's no swearing and everything. Mm-hmm.
So there's a Charlie Brown slur section, but that's for the kids after 9 o'clock.
That's just a necessity.
Yeah, check it out. Getting Juicy at the Movies, new podcast, and hope you like it.
And then you also have your podcast as well.
Yeah, my podcast, The Harland Highway. We're in our, I think I'm in my third or fourth year. We're coming up on 550 episodes like that. Yeah,
550 episodes.
Yeah, it's
pretty sure that's more than Friends.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, so there's a lot. It's twice a week, Mondays and Thursdays, and you can get that at harlanwilliams.com, iTunes, wherever.
How are you able to find the time to do two podcasts a week with your touring schedule? Because your touring schedule is insane. You're about to head up to Canada to do a tour.
Yeah. Well, I just kind of pre-do them. So, if I know I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks, I'll do them all in advance and just time them out. So,
And it's a great podcast. You go in a million different directions with it.
The games you played, too, like the game I got like at the end was so great. Some of the questions
too
you were
soon
asking.
Or not too soon.
Too soon or not too soon was great.
Yeah.
And then even you even asked me about my thoughts about the afterlife, which I had never really thought about.
Sure.
Well, I mean, vaguely. And so it was cool to kind of like jump into that. I feel like that's what they ask you, the contestants, during the break on Balloon or Queef.
Oh, yeah. The afterlife?
They go.
So you just identified 7 queefs in a row. Great job. What are your thoughts on the afterlife?
I wonder if angels queef. Probably be good because they have those wings that could blow it away. They could flap the stink away.
Do they stink?
Oh, a queef?
Angel queefs, though?
Angel queefs would probably smell like cinnamon pecan swirl. Yeah.
I smell like your candles there. I just picture an angel doing that, and then with the big wings going,
perfect.
Over there,
perfect
over there,
for flapping a fart away,
blowing it into the into the sports bar in heaven.
Yeah, the sports bar. What?
I don't know.
Oven?
The sports bar in heaven.
Oh, in heaven. Yeah, yeah.
Sports bar oven. Like another thing you do after the Mantelo and the Connect Four. You give her a sports bar oven.
Ah, the old sports bar oven.
That's where you put on a football helmet and just stick her foot in the microwave. I don't know.
Let it marinate for a while.
Have you
ever microwaved something really weird?
Yeah.
What?
A cardboard box.
Yeah?
To eat it or to just be like, wonder what's going to happen?
There was pizza in there.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
And I forgot in a box.
But you can put a cardboard box in a microwave. You can put cardboard in it, so that's not that weird.
Yeah, but the pizza was wrapped in saran wrap.
Oh, okay. So what happened?
I don't live at that place anymore. It burned to the ground, and Kurt Russell, the musical, wasn't there to save me.
I feel that's like a move that MacGyver would do. Like, hold on, we got to blow the hide out. We'll throw that cardboard box in the microwave, throw a toothpick in there, and we're good.
Yeah,
set,
Set it for 1 minute and run, motherfucker.
Set it for, you know, popcorn preheat. What have you put in the microwave?
I haven't put anything weird. I put moss in a microwave. You know that Spanish
Bill
moss?
Nye?
You know that Spanish moss that hangs from trees?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that hangs from Marina Menudo's.
No, that hangs from Nelly Furtado. Imagine a girl had that for a bush.
Spanish
moss. Wow, it just dropped down to the floor, dragged like a ponytail.
Oh, God.
I think the closest thing we ever had to that was Paula Cole.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that singer.
Where boy, the Cowboys go.
Is she a Canadian too?
No, thanks.
We won't take credit for Rudnicole. Rudnicole.
I will buy a vibrator if you go get a job.
What's that?
Where are my batteries? Need some double A Duracell.
Wow, wow. That's the sound of the vibrator.
Wow.
And
wow,
if
wow.
You call wow, me Steph.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the sound of the vibrator.
Don't they just go
Well, but then they go in at some point, and that's when they make the wow, wow. That's when they make that sound.
Wow.
Sounds like a radio DJ soundbite.
Thanks for that, Google.
Thanks for calling in the babe hotline. That was a total babe leader line right there. Wow, wow. That's a, she gets two wows.
Wow.
These are the times when I love doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Bringing the funny in the afternoon.
Harlan, they can find your podcast on iTunes,
yeah.
On your website.
HarlanWilliams.com.
Yeah. I'm looking at your tour dates right now. As I said, you're doing a ton of dates in Canada. Friday, October 11th, you will be at the Improv in Pittsburgh, PA. Is that just one night, or are you doing
that's
the whole weekend?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, so that's Friday, October 11th. Saturday, October 12th, Sunday, October 13th. And then you're going to Canada, going to the comic strip in Edmonton, October 17th through the 20th or the 21st. Oh, that's in the big mall there.
Yeah, it's a great club, man.
Yeah,
great
I've been
club.
There. Yeah, the big mall, it has a water park indoors.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
The Minnesota one doesn't have that.
No, but the Edmonton mall does.
Wait, is this the same guy? When I went to, with,
you
to
went
the
with
Mall
me.
Of America
yeah, that's
one.
Where we
but
saw.
This is the same dude that runs that one, right?
Yeah. That's where we went. And then I got Calgary, the Blackfoot Inn coming up.
Yeah, got that. I'm trying to look at all these.
I'm going to Vancouver to do the Comedy Mix for the first time.
Oh, it's great.
It?
That's
great.
A fun club.
Yeah, when I was shooting my sitcom up there last year, it was right beside my hotel. So I would go there every Monday, Tuesday night and just like pop up and do spots. Yeah, by the way, I don't know if you guys have a lot of Canadian listeners, but my new sitcom airs Monday, September 30th at 8:30 across Canada. It's called Package Deal. It's me, Eugene Levy, Pamela Anderson, and
holy shit.
It's a really, really
and
funny
it's
show.
Fucking hilarious.
Why don't we have that?
It'll,
is that in America?
It'll make its way.
It'll hopefully get down here next year. But
can someone put it on Hulu or something like that?
I hope so.
So we can
I hope
that?
So. But if you got Canadian listeners, check it out Monday at 8:30, September 30th.
And, who doesn't want to watch that with you and Eugene Levy?
No, Brad, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great, man. I'll send you the trailer that he sent me. It's
oh my god,
the joke writing is great, and all. I mean, you know, you are just a prime. I feel like this part for you, like the show does what it should do, will be just a like. Great, you know, t-shirts, lunchboxes.
you Canadians, you hog all the good stuff. Like you're like you're hogging your sitcom. When I was up in Montreal, Canada, I found that you have ketchup flavored potato chips.
Oh, aren't they good?
That pissed me off because I'm like, these are fucking amazing.
Aren't they great? I don't know why they're not down here.
They're ketchup flavored potato chips.
Yeah. Sounds incredible.
They're ridiculous.
They're great. They're great.
Me and Dion Cole from the Conan show, we're just sitting there going. This shit's unbelievable, and that was me saying that.
Yeah.
Did you try the relish flavored ones?
There's relish.
No.
Oh,
too soon.
I was about to plan a trip back up to Canada just for that.
Yeah, they're good.
Harlan, you have been on the podcast before. Thank you so much for coming back,
guys. Yeah, thanks for having me. I had a blast.
Yeah, tweet him. Go to his website. See him on tour if you're in the Orange County area. Friday, November 1st, he'll through November
3rd. Oh, that 3rd. One's been canceled, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
The Irvine?
I'm doing Bray instead. The Irvine date will now be in January.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
But here's the thing about Harlan is you're always on tour. You're always going across the country, across two countries. And so if you miss Harlan, wait 6 months. You'll be back.
I'll be back. I'll be back.
It's great. Harlan.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming. And for Adam Ray, Harlan Williams, I'm Brad Williams. As always, try to remember our names in the morning.
Wow, that hurts.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schleichinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.